The blog of Eugenia H. Watson, Chief Cook and Bottle Washer, September 29. I'm looking back at my last entry, and wow, I must be psychic. So that whole conversation I had with Sherlock about the having not being as satisfying as the wanting? Today I was provided with Exhibit A as to its truthiness. Let me back up a little. First point of update is that Sherlock is having way too much fun tormenting me in his new capacity as my legal dad. He has taken to answering every question I ask him with, "Because I'm your father, that's why." Meanwhile, Dad just snickers in the background and Mum says, "Hey, you asked for it." So I'm to expect no help from the people who actually conceived me, in other words. It's possible that I have created a monster. No matter, he'll get bored of it soon enough and it'll be business as usual. Until then, I shall suffer in silence. Last night, Sherlock attempted to send me to bed without supper. Dad pointed out that this might not be an appropriate response to my being slightly too slow in passing the salt for Sherlock's liking. He also implied that if he didn't cut it out, Dad might send him to bed without anything. I pretended to be blissfully unaware of the sexual implications of this and just enjoyed Sherlock's chagrined expression. Mum thinks this is all hilarious. It kind of is, really. It's not as if he's serious. He's just acting like a Burke to cover up his good mood. God forbid any of us might think he was happy about my name change in his parental status. Anyhow, on to this evening. I went to Leonard's after school. We spent 2 hours playing speed chess, which is him indulging me, really. I love speed chess. Leonard is more a proponent of the careful, measured approach. He gets off on it a bit, though, just like I do. I beat him 14 games to 12. Sherlock showed up at 5:45. "What are you doing here?" I said. "I thought I was taking the tube home tonight."
"I decided to come collect you instead."
"Why?"
"Because I'm your..."
"Father, that's why," I finished, rolling my eyes. "Seriously, why?"
"I have business with Leonard."
Oh, that meant money. I don't really know how much Leonard gets paid for my chess lessons, but I think it must be a lot, because Leonard doesn't take many students, but he's got dozens of people lined up begging him to take them on. I've considered feeling guilty about this, but I think I'm pretty economical as kids go. I like to buy clothes at second-hand stores, I don't play expensive sports, I don't demand new gadgets constantly, and I don't get my hair coloured. I'm not one to go demanding designer togs from my parents or running up huge charges on their credit cards. Leonard is my only big ticket item, and it's not like it was even my idea in the first place. I have been studying with him since before I knew about things like money. All I can really do is make the most of my lessons, and I think I have. Hello, 24-25 ELO rating. So I got my coat and bag while they talked. Then we were out the door and into the cab. We were barely off before Sherlock's mobile rang.
Lestrade, he answered it. You catch me en route.
He listened a moment.
Interesting.
Pause.
I would, but I...
He glanced at me. His eyes narrowed in thought.
On second thought, I'll be right there.
He hung up and gave the cabbie a different address. Could it be? No, surely not. He half turned toward me.
Well, Jeannie, what do you say?
To what? He just grinned at me. Don't tease me. Really? Seriously?
John's on call tonight. I require an assistant.
You're really letting me come to a crime scene?
I think you're old enough, don't you?
Are you mad? I've been dying for this since I was like 5.
All right then. You know the procedures?
Absolutely. I know just what to do. He went quiet then. I sat watching the streets go by outside, practically vibrating with excitement. When I was a kid, all I wanted in the world was to be a consulting detective and go to crime scenes with Dad and Sherlock.
I even imagined this whole consulting detective ensemble I'd wear. Shell used to give me deduction tests, and I'd pore over every one, honing my skills. As I got older, this fell away a bit. My hero worship of Sherlock dimmed when he stopped being exciting, exotic Uncle Sherlock that I saw a couple of times a week, and turned into my stepdad Sherlock who I saw every day. I started exploring other things that were interesting to me. I got more dedicated to chess. I discovered my mum's field of study and got hooked on that for a while. You know, how kids do. Flip from one thing to another. But I never completely lost my fascination with Sherlock's job. I still love hearing about his cases, and I still love his deduction tests, although he doesn't give them very often anymore. This was still something I'd always wanted, to go to a real crime scene and see how I'd do in the field. I couldn't believe he was letting me. We pulled up to the crime scene. It was an ordinary house in an ordinary neighborhood. Sherlock was already looking around, taking everything in. We got out of the cab and stood there for a moment. I didn't know quite what to say, or if he expected me to say anything.
"Jeannie, what are you doing here?"
I waved to Lestrade as he came striding up. "Hi, Greg." Now might be a good time to tell you that when I was 13, I had my first real, honest-to-God, bone-melting crush on Detective Inspector Lestrade. Oh my goodness, I had it so bad for him. He is rather dishy. And he's a policeman, which is exciting, and he never treated me like a kid, which I appreciated. I also have memories of him being there after my accident, that he made me feel safe, which probably had some sort of subconscious effect as well. I was so gone on him. I'm sure the poor man took his fair share of ribbing about it, because 13-year-olds don't exactly know how to be subtle, so I've no doubt that my googly-eyed devotion was achingly obvious. Mum and Dad and Sherlock certainly knew. Mum thought it was cute, Dad thought it was disturbing, and Sherlock just rolled his eyes and wondered why I couldn't pick someone less thick-headed to fancy. The funny part is that I'm not the only one with a crush. I'm sure he thinks no one else can tell, but Dad, Sherlock, and I have known for a while that Lestrade fancies my mother a lot. Mum, for all that she's usually very observant, is oblivious. I think she wants to be. Dad and I have talked about setting them up on a date, but we haven't done it yet. Lestrade's wife died about 5 years ago. Cancer. He doesn't have any kids. He's fit and kind, and I think he'd be a fantastic person for Mum to date, if she were inclined to date anybody. I admit it's nice to think of him being part of our little family, if only for the amusement of imagining him and Sherlock at the same holiday dinner table. But so far, all we've done is gossip about it. For as nice as Lestrade always is to me, he didn't look too thrilled to see me tonight.
"Sherlock, what's all this? You can't just bring her along to a crime scene."
"Why not?"
"She's a civilian."
"So am I."
"She's a minor.
And she is in the company of her legal guardian."
But, you just can't."
"Now you're just being stubborn. John's not available. You know I like having a colleague with me. Jeannie is more than adequate to the task."
I preened a bit under this assessment of my abilities.
"This is ridiculous. This isn't Wernham Hogg, Sherlock. We don't have a bring your kid to work day."
"I beg to differ. I have seen notices of that precise event posted at the yard."
"Well, all right, but we don't bring them to crime scenes."
"Lestrade, every moment we stand out here bickering is another moment Anderson is mucking up the evidence. Are you going to let us in or not?"
He sighed, looking from me to Sherlock and back again.
"All right, fine, but she is your responsibility, understood?"
"As I have recently legally declared, yes."
Sherlock strode off to the staging area. He picked up a pair of latex gloves and handed another pair to me. I left my knapsack and snapped the gloves on, feeling official. We walked through to the kitchen, where there were lights. Anderson came walking out as we approached. I'd never met this mythical person, but I knew him straight off from the contemptuous look he gave Sherlock.
Oh, fantastic, he sneered. Psychopaths on parade.
His gaze slid over to me.
Good Lord, what's all this?
Anderson, this is my daughter, Eugenia. She'll be assisting me this evening.
Your what? Oh, wait, she's Watson's kid, right?
Yes. Try and grasp the logic. She is John's daughter. John is my husband, which makes her, also, my daughter. Come, Jeannie, try not to look directly at him. I wouldn't want you to have nightmares.
Anderson shook his head.
You poor thing, he muttered at me as he passed.
I was struck dumb. I guess I sort of knew that Sherlock wasn't held in such high esteem by some of the artists, but I'm not sure I really believed it. How could they not see? After all the cases he's solved and people he's saved, how can they really, honestly think he's some sort of deviant? I didn't like it. Then again, it wasn't like he went out of his way to be nice either. It just wasn't such a happy thing to see him being treated like dirt by people he's trying to help. Dad says a lot of them just resent that he can do their job better than they can. Like that's his fault. But Dad also says that Sherlock doesn't help matters by denigrating them at every opportunity. Okay, point. The kitchen had been cleared of people. We stepped into the lights. And there it was. The dead person. The first thing that hit me was the smell. Not rotting death. I know that smell from Mum's work. No, this was brand new death. Blood. That heavy metallic tang in the air. And urine. And things that leak out after the body stops trying to hold them in. I know about death. And the process that happens after. I've seen pictures and crime scene photos and plenty of Mum's rotty, gross corpses. But this was a dead person. A real live dead person. A person who'd woken up this morning and gotten out of bed and gotten dressed, just like me, and who'd had no idea that she'd end the day being examined by police and forensics and consulting detectives and their daughters. A person who'd been alive a short time ago and now wasn't. Sherlock was watching my face.
All right, he murmured.
I nodded. All right. I thought I was all right. I was pretty sure I was all right.
Tell me what you see.
I took a deep breath. I shut my eyes and opened them again. Don't just see. Observe. She's been shot. In the back. There was a red trajectory marker sticking out of the wound. She was already on the floor when she was shot.
Good. What else?
The person that shot her was standing over her. She must have been unconscious when she was shot.
How do you know?
She's still on her front, all calm and such. Her clothes aren't messed up. If she'd hit the floor awake, she would have tried to turn back over and defend herself, throw up her hands, that sort of thing.
Good. So how did the killer render her unconscious?
Blow to the head? Sherlock crouched by her head.
No signs of trauma.
A drug of some kind.
Possible, but unlikely.
I looked down at the woman's feet. One shoe was off. I could see the nail polish on the toes of her bare foot. The polish on her big toe was chipped. She'd been due for a pedicure. The next thing I remember, Sherlock was half carrying me to a chair in the dining room. Toes. I kept saying. She needed her toes done.
Shh, sit down. Take a deep breath.
Her toes. She probably meant to get them done soon. She won't now. She woke up this morning alive.
I know.
His hands were on my shoulders.
It's all right, Crumpet.
I waited until my head cleared, just concentrating on breathing steady and the comforting weight of Sherlock's hands. I straightened up. Oh, jeez. Nobody saw me throw a wobbly, did they?
Sherlock glanced past me. No, looks like everyone's processing the rest of the house. Just you and me.
He ducked his head to look in my eyes.
I shouldn't have brought you here, should I?
No, I'm glad. I'm glad you did. I want to help.
You're not ready for this.
I am. I've seen tons of dead people.
Your mother's skeletons aren't the same as someone who was, as you said, alive this morning.
I'm okay. I'm not going to pass out or anything.
He frowned.
Are you certain?
Yes. I inhaled big and let it out slow. I'm good. Let's get back to work.
We went back into the kitchen, and I let Sherlock take over the deductions. Turns out that my observation of her toenails was significant. From that, he deduced that she'd been dragged, which led to the bedroom upstairs, which led to a pillow used to smother her, which led to fibres, which somehow, through a chain of deduction that I could barely follow, led to the woman's personal assistant and some kind of scandal involving naked pictures on someone's mobile. I stood next to Sherlock and watched as the coroner wheeled the woman's body out, inside a body bag. Will they catch the assistant?
Already being taken care of.
The Yarders would have figured all these things out eventually, wouldn't they?
Probably, but it would have taken them days to piece it together. That's my most significant contribution, Jeannie. Speed. If I can see in half an hour what would take them a week to work out, the odds of catching the perpetrator go up astronomically.
Lestrade walked up.
Well, Jeannie, what'd you think of your first crime scene? Think a career at the Yard is in your future?
I forced a smile.
I doubt it. I'll stick to chess for now. And then later, maybe archaeology.
Sherlock looked down at me, eyebrows raised.
Really? I thought it was microbiology.
Oh, that was last week.
Lestrade chuckled.
Well, off you go. Thanks, Sherlock.
Sherlock nodded, and we headed off to hail a cab. Just a bit ago, Dad knocked on my door.
Can I come in?
He said.
Sure.
I set aside my chessboard. He sat on the edge of my bed.
I hear you had a new experience tonight.
Don't be mad at Sherlock for taking me.
I'm not. I know you've always wanted to go to a crime scene.
He smiled at me.
Not quite what you expected, was it?
I shook my head.
She was just lying there. She was so dead, Daddy. Like none of it mattered. Like it...
Like it could just happen to any of us at any time?
Yeah.
I looked up at him.
What was your first crime scene like?
Haven't I told you that story?
No?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'd seen plenty of dead bodies, of course. Medical school, the A&E, and of course in the army.
But I'd never been to a crime scene until I met Sherlock. It was the first night I met him, practically.
Really? It was just, hello, how do you do? Let's be flatmates. Now let's go off to a crime scene?
He chuckled.
More or less exactly how it went, yes.
Didn't you think he might be a nutter?
The thought did cross my mind. That first one was in Brixton.
Did it give you a turn?
It did, a bit. But I had a job to do, or so Sherlock kept telling me. And I admit I was more than a little distracted being astonished by his deductions.
He reached out and took my hand.
Jeannie, you shouldn't be embarrassed if seeing that dead woman tonight gave you a bad moment. It's normal. It'd almost be worrisome if you just took it all in stride and never had a second thought about it.
Sherlock took me there on purpose, didn't he? So I'd know what it was like.
I flopped down on my stomach.
I feel like I failed a test or something.
Oh no, not remotely. Honestly, you did far better than most would do seeing a dead body up close for the first time. I'm sure if you went to another crime scene, you'd be able to focus and do the work just fine.
He hesitated a moment.
Sherlock was very impressed.
Impressed? He had to carry me from the room.
Nonsense. He described it as a slight swoon. He also said that one of your observations was key to the solution. Something about toenails?
I smiled. I'm sure he would have seen it himself, too. Oh, Jeannie, welcome to my world. I constantly ask myself what my utility is at these crime scenes, noticing things that he'd inevitably see for himself.
What is it, then?
Genius needs an audience. It's the least I can do. And after all this time, I'm still astonished by him.
He kissed me goodnight then, and left me to my chess openings.
I keep thinking about the woman in the kitchen. and all the other dead people that all three of my parents make their livings around. I wonder how many there have been, and how many more of them there would be if any of the three of them weren't in the world. End of entry.
To leave a comment for this entry, or to listen to earlier entries, please visit eugeniawatson.dreamwith.org.
See you in November!